This is Madeline interviewing Elaine, April 17th, 1980. You can't put the playback on the same thing.
I hereby give to the Buffalo Woman's Oral History Project the tape recording of April 17, 1980 for such educational and
scholarly
uses and purposes as the directors Elizabeth Kennedy, Madeline Davis, and Abra.
Michelson
shall
determine.
I further consent to the transcription
mm-hmm.
and publication of any or all of this interview as educational and
scholarly
work required. I have been assured that only my first name, Elaine, will be employed in any use of these tapes. I understand that at some future date,
yeah.
the tapes will be housed in an
archive
chosen by the directors of the Buffalo Women's Oral History Project and will be available for public access, governed by the rules of the
archive.
I give consent that these tapes be made available for research purposes immediately after the date of the last interview.
Okay. Thank you. Was the first bar that you ever went to a bar in Buffalo?
Yeah, the first bar I ever went to was Bingo's.
Where was they?
On Eagle and Oak.
Was it a corner bar?
Yeah, it was a corner bar.
Uh-huh. Do you remember the year?
Let's see. It was, 70. About 57.
Okay.
Yeah.
Had you just come out then, or had you been out for a while?
I had been out, but I had never been to any of the bars.
How did you find out?
Well,
it was the bar. That was the place to go.
Well, I had heard a lot about it from different people. I knew a girl, a friend who had gone to the bars.
Mm-hmm.
But I had never gone.
Was this somebody you went to school with or
no,
worked with?
No, just somebody I had met.
Uh-huh.
And she used to go to the bars, but I had never been to them, so
mm-hmm.
I was very curious. So I knew this guy, he wasn't quite too swift. So I talked him into
going with
taking me there.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, very nonchalantly. And,
uh-huh.
But I was at an offbeat night, like a Monday or Tuesday night, and there was hardly anybody there. So,
mm-hmm.
But I did meet one girl. She gave me her phone number. Her name was Sandy. So I called her a week or two later and agreed to meet her. That's how I started going to
mm-hmm.
Bingo's. And then I got to know the people. And
yeah. How old are you?
Oh, I was about 22.
Had you gone to straight bars before that?
Yeah, all my life.
Mm-hmm.
All the time.
And you were gay all that time when you were going into straight bars?
Yeah, but I never did anything, you know. I had gone away to a summer camp when I was about 12 or 13, and I had an affair with a girl at camp.
Uh-huh.
She was older than I was.
And that's how you came out?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
But after I didn't see her, we used to write to each other, but that ended. So I just never bothered, but... And I lived at home with my father, and he was a very funny, strict man, so he didn't even believe in drinking or anything, so
uh-huh.
to go out drinking, you know, come
yeah.
home, that was a trip. I couldn't even smoke in front of him.
Uh-huh.
But then after he died, you know, I kind of lived my own life then.
And your mother wasn't around?
No, my mother had died already, mm-hmm. so I just wanted to live my own life, yeah. you know.
How did you meet girls between the age of 12 and 22 if you never got...
I didn't.
Oh, you didn't do anything?
No.
Then? Was they hard?
Well, not really, because I never really thought about it, you know. I just never gave in to it, you know, the impulses. I used to run around with my cousin and a couple of her girlfriends. We were all around the same age. And we used to go out drinking and but never let, you know.
And did you date guys in that time?
Yeah, I dated.
Yeah. When you went to Bingo's, could you tell from the outside that there was anything different about the
bar? It was just a scrubby little bar. I mean a scrubby little bar.
What did you think you were going to find when you went in?
Oh, I didn't know what to expect. It was really the trip of it all. You know? I really didn't know what to expect.
Did that girl that told you about it tell you anything about what was...
No, she never said too much about it. But I went there, I met this Sandy. Her name was Sandy. And
what was she like?
Sandy. She was sort of butchy. She was kind of husky. Oh, she had dirty blonde hair. She was nice, you know, nice person.
Is that the Sandy they used to call truck driver Sandy?
No, this is, I don't know. Sandy was killed in an automobile accident.
I wouldn't know.
About 59, somewhere in there.
Uh-huh.
She was killed in an automobile accident.
Oh, I see.
But Sandy's brother was also gay, too.
Uh-huh. How did she get to give you her phone number?
Kind of weird, just talking. But she said, why didn't you give me your phone number? And I said, why don't you give me yours? I said, because at the present, I said, I live with my aunt and uncle.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd rather call you than you call me.
Mm-hmm.
So she did. So I called her and arranged to meet her. Then I started, you know, I got to know a few of the people.
Mm-hmm.
And then I started going and doing those.
Who was tending bar at Bingo's then, do you remember?
Let's see, who was tending bar? It was either Jan or Betty.
I don't think any of them were. The only Jan I think I know from that time is Black Jan.
No, it wasn't Black Jan.
It's a different Jan.
Yeah, a different Jan.
Was the barmaid gay?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, the barmaid was gay. You know, whoever worked behind the bar was gay. Mm-hmm. The owner wasn't. But it would be funny because the place would be, it was a very tiny little place and it was dirty, but the bar would be packed to about 12 o'clock and he'd come in and then the place would just automatically empty right out.
Why?
I don't know, for some reason the girls just didn't care for him. I don't know why, he always seemed to be all right.
Mm-hmm.
If somebody had a birthday, he'd have a cake and a little spread for him and everything.
Well, that's nice.
So, but I don't know why. It just seemed empty right out, you know, when he came in. And everybody would go down to the carousel.
The carousel was going at the same time?
Yeah.
Now, I know the carousel was in two different places. It was on Washington, where the A&P, they built the A&P afterwards, and then it moved over onto Ellicott. Was this one, it was on Washington?
Well, it was on Ellicott.
It was at the new place then?
Yeah, right, the new place.
Mm-hmm. What was the difference between those two bars?
The carousel was a little bigger. Plus, the bar, they had I usually had a gay girl behind the bar and a gay boy, because at the bar was mixed. It was gay boys or gay boys and gay girls. The back room was just strictly for the girls.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm. You know, just the girls weren't allowed in the back room. And they could dance and that, you know.
Could you dance at Bingo's?
There was really no place to dance. And it was so crowded, you know. Uh-huh. You couldn't hardly dance at all. Yeah. But in Bingo's, it used to be funny because, like I said, the bar was small. And you went through like a little room into the back room, which was like his kitchen, and he had a sink and a refrigerator in there, which was where the ladies' room was. Mm-hmm. And he used to keep his beer there, you know. So maybe there'd be about four or five of us waiting to go to the ladies' room, and he'd have all these cases of beer sitting there. And we used to sit there on the cases of beer and drink his warm beer. And go to the ladies' room, come back out, half smashed on his warm beer. But we really had a good time, though. I mean, we never really hurt him or anything. You know, mm-hmm. We just drink his warm beer. Of course, at that time, beer was only, what, about a quarter a bottle.
Oh, that's really the old days.
Yeah, a quarter a bottle. You could go out for $2 and really tie on a good drunk.
That's great. Let's see if we're getting this on tape. I want to make sure. Did you notice that there was any difference in the kind of people that went to Bingo's and the kind that went to the carousel, or did they switch?
Well, there was a different cliques, you know. Some of them were real butchy, butches, you know, and then there was the other ones that were a little more elite, or they thought they were, you know, so. Depend on who you hung around with. I always hung around with the butchy-butch type. Uh-huh. You know, they always thought we were rough and ready. Of course, we could
were
hold.
You?
Well, not really, but we could hold our own if we had to. Uh-huh. You know, I mean, nobody really likes to fight. Mm-hmm. What does it prove, you know, yeah. Really? But, I hung around with Andy and Pat and Sandy and I can't remember them all, but we sort of had our own clique too, you know. Then there, like I said, was the more, thought they were more elite, but we had a lot of good times. We never really got into too much trouble.
Did those groups, those different cliques in the bars, talk to each other or socialize, or were they really...
They would socialize sometimes. They'd say, you know, like, not really socialize, but like, you know, hello, how are you, or something like that. Mm-hmm. Or sometimes if they'd have a party, they'd invite you, you know. Mm-hmm. Depends. But like I said, it was a lot of good times.
Yeah. You said you hung around mostly with the butches. When you first went to Bingo's, which was your first bar, were you into any kind of role at that time?
Well, I was always a tomboy. So I, you know, just more or less fit right in with them, you know. So I just, you know, we all had the short hair and the DAs, and of course we looked like little boys, but like walking around with a sign on your back.
Yeah. Well, Some of the people you've interviewed said you had to do one or the other.
You did, really, to belong, you know, mm-hmm. and dress, you know, like them and that. That was all right for the time being, mm-hmm. but I didn't really like being so masculine because, like I said, I lived at home with my aunt and uncle. I had a younger sister, you know.
Yeah.
And one day my sister came home crying from school, and she said everybody wanted to know if I was her brother or her sister. And of course that upset me because, I mean, my life, shouldn't reflect on her. Mm-hmm. So I sort of started changing my appearance, you know. I wouldn't go out looking so masculine. And like a couple times my uncle made a remark like, oh, all you need is a tie, you know. Yeah. So I just sort of slowly but surely changed.
Yeah.
So I went from like one extreme to the other.
I remember years later, when I first met you, it was probably in the early 60s, it must have been. Although I think I started going to the bars in about 58. But I remember every once in a while, because you used to wear fairly masculine clothes, not real extreme, but you also, every once in a while, would come in a dress.
Yeah.
And it knocked me out. You were just gorgeous. And it was, you really were. You know, I remember you in a black dress one day.
Yeah.
In one of the bars, and it seemed to me that very few of the butches that I ever saw had the nerve to do that.
Oh, I did. I went from Lenox. I used to have silver blonde hair and get dressed up. And I used to run around with one of the gay boys named Louie. And on Saturday nights, just to get away from all the monotonous of it all, we used to go to like Cole's, Foster's Supper Club. Just Stuyvesant.
Mm-hmm.
Victor Hugo's. We just go around and have a drink or two in each place. You know, for a change of atmosphere and that. And then we go down to the gay bars.
Uh-huh. All dressed up in your Stuyvesant clothes.
Right. But it was great. Fun and I enjoyed it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And of course there was a lot of remarks and this and but I didn't care. I mean, I just didn't that the people bothered me because I just always felt, hey, they're not paying my bills and keeping me.
Yeah.
When they do, then they can tell me how I live my life.
It took a lot of nerve to do that because you were really, you know, that was very radical.
Yeah, I guess it was radical, but I enjoyed it. You know, I really just never cared, you know. I did whatever I wanted.
What about the women that you used to go with? Well, first of all, how did they dress?
Well, let's see. The girls, I were always very feminine.
Mm-hmm.
Sue was the first girl I went with. She was very feminine. She was younger, but she was feminine. I think we went together about 3 or 4 years. But it just didn't work out. She was younger than I was.
Mm-hmm.
And she didn't know where she was at, you know, whether she really wanted to be gay or straight.
Mm-hmm.
And then she went with a couple other girls, but eventually she did go straight. And then I went with, let's see. I went with Beverly, which was a very, very feminine girl. She was a hairdresser. And I think we went together about 2 or 3 years. And she always wanted me to look feminine because, you know, if I'd go to her house, I used to go to her house for dinner a lot of times. And she didn't want her family to know anything.
Yeah.
So, you know, I always looked very feminine when I went to her house. And like I said, she eventually got married. She didn't know where she was at either. You know.
Oh. Did that happen to a lot of femmes?
Yeah. I think a lot of them just, I don't know. I think a lot of them just came out to, for different reasons. But then eventually a lot of them went straight and got married. The majority of the women that I've gone up had
eventually
gone straight.
Why do you think that happened? Did it happen to butches too, that they went straight?
I think a couple of them tried. I know a couple of them had children. I don't know what their reasoning was, you know. But I know some of the girls, you know, they just, maybe it was just a sexual thing. They just didn't want to go to bed with a man at the time, you know, being afraid of being pregnant.
Yeah.
Getting pregnant or whatever. So, you know, a girl was an out at the time, you know.
Yeah.
And then that maybe just wasn't what they wanted, or they wanted more out of life, so they went straight and got married.
In those early days in the bars, if you were a butch and your girlfriend was a femme, were there particular kinds of social things that you were supposed to do or that you shouldn't do or couldn't do? Things like, who bought the drinks, who asked who to dance, you know, stuff like that.
No, not really. I don't think so. You know, a lot of the girls would buy you a drink. A lot of the girls would come up and the feminine girls would come up and ask you to dance, you know. So I don't think there was any, you know.
It didn't seem to be maybe as strict as men and women in a bar.
No, I don't think so. Maybe, you know, of course, probably maybe depended on how the person felt. You know, I mean, with me, it never bothered me. If a girl wanted to buy me a drink, fine. If she wanted to ask me anything, fine, you know.
Yeah, well, what we're trying to find out is not just, you know, if there were absolute rules, but if there were particular things that were different in your life that, you know, from other people's lives.
Well, like I said, I don't, you know, maybe some of the other kids would have felt differently about it, but I never did, you know. I never felt them.
What about dancing? Did you always lead? Was that ever in question?
No, it was never a question. I just normally always led. Of course, I was never really much of a dancer. I used to fake it, but... but it just seemed, you know, I mean, whoever you danced with, it just seemed to fall into a pattern, you know. They just automatically took it for granted that you led, you
know. If you were what you were going to lead, it was
right.
Sort of expect.
Well, I mean, a lot of times it, fool around with some of the butches and I dance with them, you know, kidding around, and they'd lead, you know, and I could follow, you know, so it really wasn't...
Well, that's real interesting. Did other butches do the same kind of thing? Dance with each other sometimes?
Oh, yeah. I can remember a couple times there'd be a whole bunch of us. Like, there'd be Andy, myself. Oh, and I can't remember who else we used to be, but there'd be a whole bunch of us every once in a great while. We'd all get dressed up in dresses and go down to the carousel. Just, you know, for something different. And we'd sit around in our dresses and talk and laugh and get up and dance with each other. And some of the people would really be confused by this time, but we had a good time.
That's great. Oh, the carousel was a mixed bar.
Yeah.
Gay men and women. Yeah. What about bingos?
Bingos was strictly girls, but sometimes the boys would come in.
Do you remember any other bars that were going at about the same time?
Let's see. There was Bingles, Carousel, Johnny 68, which was strictly boys. They would let some of the girls in. The Oasis.
It
was strictly boys, but they would let some girls in.
Yeah.
And it was the 5 o'clock club.
What was that like?
The 5 o'clock club was on Delaware, and it was more... It was more of the older fellas. It was a little more, they were more elite, you know. But sometimes they let the girls in, you know, as long as they know you were going to cause any trouble or nothing.
Yeah.
A lot of times some of us would go down there and just sit in a booth and have a few drinks, you know.
And this was all late 50s bars?
Yeah, late 50s.
What about trouble in those bars?
Well, not so much in the boys' bars you didn't hear trouble. But in the girls' bars you would have trouble because you'd get the straight guys that would come in, you know. And there'd be the smart remarks or one of them would, you know, push somebody or, you know. But I think by the time they left, they knew they weren't wanted and the girls weren't going to be pushed around, you know.
That's very interesting. Did the police ever come to break those up? Who broke them up?
I think maybe once or twice the police came, but I think the girls just let them know where they, you know, and there was too many of us compared to them, so they knew they better get on their way.
Yeah. So the girls really pretty well controlled the area.
Yeah, right. We never really had too much trouble. I mean, there was times, you know. Of course, like, from bingos, you could go down to the street to the Mardi Gras, which was, a lot of the gay girls went in there, but it was straight too, you know. You know, sometimes you'd get hassled and sometimes you wouldn't, you know, sometimes.
Was the Mardi Gras a tougher bar?
Yeah, it was tougher. At one time it was called Pat's and it was strictly just the girls' bar. But then they changed and it was the Mardi Gras. So a lot of the girls would still go there.
Yeah.
And, but, you know, sometimes you'd have hassles with the straight guys, and sometimes you wouldn't.
Yeah.
Then you could go, like, next door to the Mardi Gras, which was the Chesterfield. Mm-hmm. You could, you know, it was, I don't know, you had a lot of, like, Puerto Ricans and the hookers. Uh-huh. And the gay girls used to go in there. I mean, so it was just a mixture of, you never really, sometimes you'd have trouble.
Yeah.
And some, you know, a lot of times you could just go in there and sit and drink and nobody would ever bother you at all.
Was it real common that there were hookers in gay bars in the 50s? Or was it just particular bars? Or?
Well, there was just particular bars, like the Mardi Gras and the Chesterfield. And down, up and around the corner was Dugan's.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, behind the Palace.
Yeah. So, you know, and the hookers hung around there. But you could go and drink there, and they never bothered you. The hookers would buy you drinks or whatever, you know, you could have a good time. And if their boyfriends were there, they knew you weren't going to bother them, you know, because you knew who belonged to who, and you never bothered their ladies or, you know.
Were the hookers all straight?
I think most of them were, but I think some of them had affairs with the girls. You know.
So if there were fights that broke out, it was usually straight guys.
Yeah.
Hassling.
Yeah, looking at the queers, as they would call them, you know, right. See the side shows.
Uh-huh. What about fights between couples?
Oh, there was enough of them. There's enough of them. You'd have them. I can remember one time, I think it was a Saturday night, we were all, it's about five or six of us in a booth, and Sally was going with Ann at the time. While Sally was in the booth sitting there talking, and in come Ann. She went up to the bar and got a beer. She came over to the booth and got in the booth behind where Ann, Sally was sitting, and took and dumped her bottle of beer right on top of Sally's head.
I'm going to write these names. I want to ask them. Let me turn this off a second. I just want to figure out. Another thing that we're trying to do is figure out who knew who at what time. And it's very hard because you don't want to give people's names, you know, and I really identify people on the tapes. But we're trying to figure out what social groups looked like. And it's hard to do that without names, so we do it off the tape. So she dumped the she dumped the beer on Sally's head.
Yeah.
And
Sally,
of course, said thank you very much.
What happened? Something they argued, and I don't know if they got in a fight or not that night. Mm-hmm. I can't really remember, but I know they did. They argued, but like I said, if they had a fight, I really can't recall.
Were there particular couples that were noted for being fighters out in public?
No, I don't really think so. I think everybody had their moments, or depending what happened or how much they had to drink, you know.
What were they usually, those fights usually over?
Somebody dancing with somebody else, or flirting, you know, or kissing somebody else.
Mm-hmm. And how did they break up? I mean, how did those fights end up?
They'd be back together the next day, you know.
Uh-huh.
So it was just...
Would the barmaid or bartender ever step in?
Well, most of whoever their friends were would try to break them up, you know.
I see. Mm. This is a wonderful time.
They were really... Yeah. I mean, you know, you didn't think at the time they were funny, but today you look back at them and you think they were funny. I think I really... had a good time in those days. The kids stuck together. They were closer. And it's not like today. I think the younger kids, I don't know.